What's good, Ivy Hoop fans? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Ivy Hoops, the podcast. Recording this on a Thursday evening, February 1st, 2018, from our West Lebanon, New Hampshire studios. Brett Franklin with you, along with my usual partner in crime, Jill Glessner. Of course, both of us with the Ivy League Network. Jill, good to see you again. How are you?
Thanks for having me back, Brett.
And things starting to heat up on both sides of the coin in men's and women's basketball in the Ancient Eight. And big, you know, it's like, I hate to sound, it sounds like a cliche, but we always say it's a big weekend, but it literally is a big weekend for a lot of teams. There are a lot of interesting scenarios here and some teams that possibly need sweeps to kind of keep pace with the logjam that is the top four of the Ivy League. But we're going to break it all down for you here on the podcast. We got a great show lined up for you. Our guest this week will include Tyler Patch. He is the assistant women's basketball coach at Brown. Bears, one of those teams that might be needing two wins this weekend to keep pace in the Ivy League and women's basketball. Richard Kent will also join us. He covers Yale men's and women's basketball for Ivy Hoops Online. We had a great conversation with Richard. I think you're really going to enjoy some of the takes he's given us or did give us earlier today. And we'll also talk with Jim Engels, the head coach of Columbia men's basketball. Lions with a big weekend, Harvard and Dartmouth invading New York City. So we got lots to get to here on the program. So let's not waste any time. Jill, you ready to get right into things here?
I was born ready.
All right, let's get going. We'll start with the women's Ivy League action, and we'll take a look at the standings as we enter league play this weekend. Princeton, of course, atop the ranks at 13-3 overall, 3-0 in Ivy play. They have won seven straight. Harvard is 3-1, sitting in second place, just a half game behind the Tigers. Penn at 2-1 sits in third. Yale and Dartmouth tied for fourth at 2-2, and then it's Brown, Columbia, and Cornell at 1-3. Some headlines that you came away with last weekend in the H&N on the women's side, Jill.
I think the one that sticks out to me the most, Brett, is how Harvard plays at home. They dropped 97 points on a good defensive team in Yale Bulldogs, and they dropped 17 threes, 51 points from behind the arc, Brett. I mean, I know on the podcast last week I said Harvard plays well at home, but I didn't know they played that well at home.
They had a career night, and it wasn't even close from the get-go. And Yale did rebound on the second. I will talk about that coming up. But it was a tale of 2 days, really. It was very night and day for a lot of Ivy League teams. Well, not a lot, but a good chunk of them. We'll dive into that. But, yeah, Harvard coming away with a 97-73 win over the Bulldogs on Friday night. And then Dartmouth and Brown, a big shootout here in Hanover. The game saw 14 different lead changes. Shayna Mehta had a huge game for the Bears, but Dartmouth hit some big shots down the stretch and were able to hang on for the victory. It was a fun one to call on Friday night between Brown and Dartmouth up here in Hanover.
It was a shootout. I don't know how much defense was being played.
If you were a fan of defense, that was not a game to be watched.
No, but it showed, I mean, the fast pace of both of their teams, super fun to watch. And Brett, something that I don't want to miss is that wouldn't necessarily show up on the scores, but Penn won the Big Five. They were 3-1. They beat Villanova. They beat Temple. So they were crowned the Big Five champion. I think that is a huge accomplishment, especially with who the other opponents are in the Big Five. So that's another storyline from the week.
As if we needed another notch in the belt there for Penn on how good Mike McLaughlin's crew is this season. Might seem that they're hitting their stride at this point in the season.
And you look at it, Brett, you look at the top of the league, and it's Princeton, Harvard, and Penn who are playing really well. Princeton is on a 7-game win streak. Harvard on a 4-game win streak, and Penn is on a 5-game win streak. So those are the three teams that everyone wants to be going after.
Looking at the Saturday results, and Columbia and Cornell met up, and the Lions getting their first win of Ivy play. And I know that's something that Meg Griffith was not happy with her team's performance to start league play, but they get a 72-54 win over the Big Red.
And I think, she stated that was a much-needed win for her group, and it was on the road, great road win. But they were on a 6-game losing streak before that game. So, again, now you get that win, and they're going to try to keep it rolling.
And of course, they'll have the Harvard-Dartmouth swing this weekend for the Columbia Lions. As we talked about, we'll get to that game in a second, but Harvard and Brown met up on Saturday night and talk about a barn burner, a shootout, however you want to describe it. Harvard came away with an 87-85 win, another tough one to swallow for the Brown Bears, and who are now 1-3 in league play. But again, Harvard defending home court. And as Jim Engels told us during his interview with us, defending home court is really the biggest key here in the Ivy League.
And even Richard Kent.
Yes. Yeah.
He mentioned that it's like a 90% win rate at home in the Ivy League. And so that's what each team's focus is to, you know, take care of your home court and steal some on the road.
It's got to be tough, though, if you're a fan of Brown here. I mean, you've had a tough start to the season. Then you got Penn Princeton this weekend. And if you don't come away with at least one there, you're looking at possibly 1-5.
I think if you look at four of their last six games are at home. So I think, you know, they might be a sleeper come, you know, that last weekend or two, that they're going to be kind of at the bottom. And then if they win consecutive games, they're going to be right there battling.
They're very good at home, 6-1 at home so far this season. And the other contest that took place on Saturday night on the women's side of things, Yale. As we talked about two different nights, Yale defensively was a lot better on Saturday night as the Bulldogs defeated Dartmouth 57-39. And it was credit Yale. Roxy Berriman had a really good game. Jen Berkowitz is a fun player to watch. Dartmouth, and you made the comment on the broadcast, it looked like Dartmouth just could not rebound with a running gun type of game the night before. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. And I mean, you look at Dartmouth's roster, they have Kate Lekowitz and Silas Bold, who are leading the league in minutes played. And so I think the back-to-backs, we're going to see that on that Saturday game, unless more of the bench players play that Friday night.
We'll get more from Richard Kent coming up, but just looking at Yale and seeing them on Saturday, I mean, if they can pull it together here, is this a team that can challenge for that fourth spot in the Ivy League?
Absolutely. And they're kind of hit or miss, right? So they have some really good wins under the belt. They have some really, I think Richard Kent said, head-scratching losses. But if they can stay and they play well, they're capable of beating anybody. Princeton, I think, right now is way up there. But I think Yale can beat Penn.
Interesting. Looking ahead to this weekend and staying with women's basketball here, and we'll start with the Friday night contest. Speaking of Penn, they will be at Brown on Friday night. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip-off. That game will be on ESPN3. But like we said, for Brown, if they drop two this weekend, they're going to be 1-5 in league play. But they have been very good at home. How do you see this game breaking down?
I mean, last year, Brown was up by like 20 on Penn, and Penn came back and won the game. They are capable. It's talk about contrasting styles. Penn, that would love to walk the ball up the floor, score in like the 50s, where you have Brown, who wants to score in the 80s. So if Brown's shots are going in, I just don't think Penn's going to have the offensive power to score that many points against them.
So can Penn impose their style of play on Brown is going to be the biggest question.
Absolutely. But I'm choosing Brown to win that game because it's more of a needed win for them than it is for Penn.
Who's the more desperate team is basically what I'm gathering out of this. And Brown right now just trying to get back into the win column in league play. Columbia is at Harvard. And again, if you're a Harvard fan, and as Jill said, Harvard's a dangerous team at home. And I would imagine the trend continues this weekend.
And I do think that they're historically a team that gets better as the season goes on. So, you know, that game that Dartmouth stole from them earlier this season, they played them fairly early January. So, you know, I hate to be the teams that are playing them late February into March.
Princeton is at Yale this weekend at Payne Whitney Gym. And you said if Yale's a team that could maybe pull off an upset, that this is the weekend. But you might think it's coming on the following night because Princeton has won 7 straight, 3-0 in Ivy play.
I do. I think Princeton is playing so well at a higher level than everybody else right now.
How much better are they this year than last year?
It's a great question. I mean, it's Bella Allery is better. And since she's raised the level of her game, then everyone's feeding off of her.
I would just say, if I'm a Princeton fan, finish strong. Because they didn't finish strong last year.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And I think that very much leaked
Not
into the
too
tournament.
Comfortable.
So for them, That's if I'm a fan of the orange and black, that I want to see this team from start to finish going hard at it for the entire season. And Cornell's at Dartmouth. And here's what I'll say with the Dartmouth Big Green, Jill. If this team's for real, if this team is going to be serious about getting to Philly, they need to sweep this weekend.
Absolutely. It'll create some separation. It'll take pressure off of them on the road.
Going into Penn and Princeton next weekend.
Yes.
How do you see this shaking out this week? Just for Dartmouth, I mean, is it going to be, I think Friday night we know they'll be ready. My question is that Saturday contest, as we saw last weekend? How is that recovery going to work for the Big Green this second time around?
Well, I think Columbia Cornell are at the bottom of the league, and I think that Dartmouth not playing its best is capable of beating them both. You know, Dartmouth is, their RPI is 103, but almost in that top 100. And so the other opponents, you have Princeton's 51, Harvard's 67 RPI, Brown's 99 RPI. So, but Cornell, Columbia, they're not near that top 100. And so I believe, you know, Dartmouth, if that Saturday game, they don't have legs, I still think they can get a win.
Looking at the Saturday contest, Princeton is at Brown at 4 o'clock. Columbia is at Dartmouth at 5 o'clock. Cornell's at Harvard at 5 o'clock as well. And then Penn at Yale, you're saying that's the game to keep an eye out this weekend.
I am, yes. Yale, yeah. I'm going to go with Penn. I'm going to go with Penn over Yale just because I have Penn losing to Brown. There's no way Penn's getting swept.
Okay.
So I'm more confident in Brown beating Penn than I am.
But you think Yale has a chance against Princeton is what I'm gathering.
Yes.
Okay. So just saying that. Just to keep an eye out on. Keep your, you yes. know, just to kind of keep your
and,
eyes
and it depends
to
on
it.
What Yale team shows up.
That's right. We saw the two different tales. I mean, they play great defense, and they were attacking the basket here in Dartmouth. So we'll have to wait and see. So there's your Ivy League women's breakdown here this week. Should be a lot of fun. Bringing our attention now to men's basketball, and we look at the Ivy League men's standings coming into this weekend. Harvard at 4-0, Penn at 3-0, just a half game behind the Crimson. Princeton at 2-1, Brown and Yale tied for the fourth spot at 2-2. Cornell and Columbia each at 1-3, and then Dartmouth bringing up the rear at 0-4. Looking at last weekend's action, Jill, and we'll start with the Friday night contest, and we'll start two great games, depending on obviously who you were a fan of, and we'll start with
I picked them both wrong.
You did, but but it was close though, so I guess we'll give you some sort of credit for that. But we'll start with Dartmouth and Brown. Crazy game, crazy finish. Dartmouth was down big in that into that first half, and then they were able to make it close. Dartmouth tying the game up late, missed free throw late in the contest. Brown dribbles it up the court, a leaner for two and the win at the buzzer, and the Bears come away with a 64-62 victory. Let me start with this from the Dartmouth perspective. How many of these close games can you continue to swallow like you just had? They haven't lost by a buzzer beater this year, but so many games down by double digits to come back and then to lose. It's got to be a frustrating weekend for Dave McLaughlin.
Well, I think the biggest lesson learned for them is they keep getting themselves in these holes. So they're not showing up in that first half. They're getting down by double digits, and then they're crawling back and they're coming back. If they can start the game strong and maybe even have a lead at halftime, I think that would go a long way, especially because this team is so very young.
And then looking at and big win for Brown, able to hit a big bucket down the stretch.
Made
and
the SportsCenter top 10.
It was number 3, I believe, on the SportsCenter top 10. But Mike Martin has to be feeling a lot better the way that his team's coming together after a tough loss to open up league play. But now they got two wins under their belt. So you got to be feeling good if you're Mike Martin here coming into this weekend.
I mean, it would have been great if he was able to sweep at home, but, you know, they battled versus a good Harvard team. But any win in this league, Brett, is a good win.
Looking at the other contest, it was just as good, Harvard and Yale, and, you know, throw records out the window or anything with this contest. But free throws were big in this one, as Justin Bassey made a couple of big free throws late in the contest to give Harvard just enough cushion to win. Chris Lewis had 16 and 11 in that contest. Maione missed a three-point attempt with 5 seconds left to go ahead and get the win. But Harvard, again, defense and grinding it out. And so far, so good, because they're undefeated in league play.
I mean, this is showing defense wins championships. Their defense is at an elite level right now, Brett. And, you know, Bryce Akins might be coming back. And, I mean, he did come back. And, you know, his impact, I think he averaged like 10 points per game in over the weekend. But he's capable of scoring a lot more than that. But so I think his progression is going to obviously provide, you know, an offensive threat to this already very good defensive team.
Both games on Friday night decided by 2 points. It was that fun that Friday, January 26th. Now moving to the Saturday contests, Jill, we saw Cornell and Brian Earl, his crew, getting their first win in Ivy play, 82-81 over the Lions. And there must be a little bit of sigh of relief coming from Ithaca and Coach Earl.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we spoke to him, and he made it very clear that he was happy to be back in Ithaca to get the job done. And, you know, classic Matt Morgan performance, 29 points, 5 assists. And then, you know, the other score, Stone getting 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. And those two are going to – any Cornell win is going to be due to the two of them.
Other contests on Saturday, Harvard with a little bit of an easier road on Brown. They won 86-77. Seth Towns at 30 points, which is a season high, and I believe a career high for him as well. He had a huge night for Harvard as they improved their record to 4-0. And then Yale, a bounce-back win over Dartmouth the following night down in New Haven. Alex Copeland had 25 points. We're going to talk to Richard Kent, and you mentioned Alex Copeland and the play of him, Trey Fills, and Maya Ione. Yeah, Yale's battled the injury bug, but I think when they piece it all together and they play the type of basketball the Bulldogs are able to play, they're going to be a dangerous team with or without some of their big pieces.
Well, and it's great, Brett. It shows the resiliency. I mean, just due to the injuries, they could have very easily folded and, you know, threw in the towel, but they're battling each and every night.
All right, coming up this weekend, Jill, we'll look at some of the matchups on the men's side. We'll start with the Friday night contest. Brown is at Penn. And the Palestra has been very kind to the Quakers this season. What are some of the takeaways for this matchup?
I mean, Penn's one of the best teams in the league, and they're playing that way. But I think it's just the Rothschild-Broder, the two big, versatile, offensive and defensive players is going to be a tough matchup.
Penn 7-3 at home, Brown 2-6 away from Providence. Harvard is at Columbia. Jim Engels, we talked to him as well here on the podcast, and he's going to have two different styles of basketball that he's going to have to try and have his team defend this weekend, with Harvard on Friday and Dartmouth on Saturday. But this is going to be a sneaky good game in New York City. It's alumni weekend down there in New York City.
What, on Friday?
On Friday, this whole weekend, I believe it is. And I think this could be a sneaky good game. I do give the edge to Harvard here, but I think the Lions could give the Crimson a run for their money.
I think if they can have 16 threes like they did in that first game versus Cornell, they'll do okay.
Dartmouth is up in Ithaca. They take on Cornell, and if Dartmouth is going to get the monkey off their back and get a league win here, it's got to be this weekend.
I would say this is just a much needed win, and I think for the sanity of Coach McLaughlin and his players, and to prevent, it's very different if you go back to Hanover, whether you're 1-5 or 2-4, but coming back up here at 0-6, it's going to be a tough hill to climb.
Seems like this road trip was like the worst road trip to have at this point in time of the season, but Dartmouth and Cornell on Friday night. Then Yale is at Princeton on Friday night as well. I think that's going to be an offensive explosion between these two teams. I don't know why, but I'm looking forward to Yale and Princeton in New Jersey.
And something to note is Princeton's 4 of their last 6 games are on the road, so they have to take care of business at home.
Looking on the Saturday contest, Brown is at Princeton at 6 o'clock. Harvard is at Cornell at 6. Dartmouth is at Columbia, 7 o'clock in New York City. And then Yale is at Penn, visiting the Palestra on Saturday night. I would imagine all the favorites probably win that. I think more so Dartmouth and Columbia is probably that 50-50 toss-up. But anything catching your eye in those matchups on the Saturday night?
I have the home teams winning, except for Harvard. I have Harvard over Cornell.
And then a rare Tuesday matchup on February 6th, Penn at Princeton. That game's going to be on ESPNU. Just looking at it here, Jill, I mean, that's going to be a fun matchup. And just 2 days in between. And This one is in Princeton, so I'm more inclined to give the advantage to the home team here, and I'll go with the defending league champs as well. But this should be an interesting matchup here and a good test for the Quakers.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, and you said it's on ESPNU, so it's great exposure. Those are two teams that you want the country to be watching.
So there you go. That's the matchups this weekend in Ancient Eight Ivy play for the men.